For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Wolves Preying on the Flock, as we pick up in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
The greatest burden on the heart of Paul, the greatest grief and sorrow, were those men who would come in to prey upon the flock of God, to draw men after themselves. And so Paul said to these Ephesians, I know that after I depart, there are going to be grievous wolves that are going to enter in, not sparing the flock. Also, out of your own midst shall men arise who will be speaking perverse things, not really teaching the Word of God, teaching the concepts of man, who try to draw disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Doesn't make any difference. There are always those foolish little sheep that will go traipsing after any bell. And though Paul warned them for 3 years, night and day with tears, that, hey, get sound in the Word, get founded in the Word, yet I know that, you know, they're going to rip some of you off. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are set apart by God. I commend you to God and the Word of His grace. Oh, it's that which is able to build you up and bring us into that glorious inheritance. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Oh, God, give us more Pauls. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Hey, fellas, you see the calluses. I worked with my own hands. I took care of myself and those that were with me. I earned our living. I didn't covet your silver or gold or your apparel. I wasn't here to rip you off or to fleece you. I was here to minister and to feed you. Now, he was telling them that because those false prophets are always seeking to fleece the sheep. Always some new gimmick to take a second offering or a third offering. Always the emphasis upon your giving to God rather than what God has given to you. Watch that one who is constantly emphasizing what you ought to be giving to God. The New Testament emphasizes what God has given to you. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We just completed a conference with the worldwide distributors of Maranatha Music. They've come in from all over the world, Africa, Singapore, Philippines, Hong Kong, Europe, distributors of Maranatha Music. We had a farewell luncheon with them Friday, in which these distributors got up and just sort of expressed themselves concerning the conference that they just had. And they said, you know, been at a lot of conferences, but never one like this. It seems that all the conferences we go to, they're always trying to get something from us. But when we came here, you've been ministering to us. It's like you're giving and trying to give to us rather than taking from us. And I said, you have just stumbled on to the philosophy of Calvary Chapel. We exist to minister to people, not to be ministered to by people. That's our basic philosophy. We're here to give, not to receive. And that is why there is never an emphasis upon your giving. The emphasis is always upon what God has given to us. And we are here to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is so blessed to be able to go on the radio all over the United States, not to be ministered to by the people. Now, friends, please send in your offering this week. Because if we don't hear from you this week, we're so far behind in our bills, you know, and we've got to hear from you this week. Never, never, never. We are just there to minister God's word to the people all over the country, to give. And thus we send out the literature. We give away thousands upon thousands of tapes every year. Get the word out. We give away music albums. Get the music out. Get the word out. People write and say, can we duplicate your tapes? And we say, yes. I read in Christianity Today, someone wrote a letter into Christianity Today, and they told how that they have problems. Their church was wanting to sing choruses. And so how they found out that they couldn't copy choruses on a little chorus sheet without infringing on the copyrights of those choruses. And so they wanted to print up these chorus sheets for their church, and they sent to all of the publishers asking for permission, and they all demanded a royalty just for these little, you know, mimeographs chorus sheets for the church. He said, there was only one publisher who told us, just go ahead, use it freely. He said, it was Maranatha Music. And I said, praise God, to give. Paul said, you know, our Lord told us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if we take that philosophy, God takes care of us. God takes care of the church. He more than supplies for our needs. But we'd never have to emphasize that side of it. God takes care of that side. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. But these poor, unfortunate pastors who are striving to attain find themselves trapped. Because if you strive to attain, then you have to strive to maintain what you have attained. And you get in that position of constant pressure, constant striving. Now, what new gimmick can we include in our letter this week, you know, to get the people to send more bucks to us, you know? You get in that trap and it seems there's no way out. If we would only learn, Jesus has established the principle, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if we give freely, even as we have received freely, God will take care of our needs, as he has proved. And I believe that he has chosen to use Calvary Chapel more or less as an example of what God can and will do if we just follow his principles. And all over, people look to us and say, well, Calvary Chapel is different. Sure it is. A whole different philosophy. We are here to minister rather than to be ministered to. We're here to give rather than to receive. And God takes care of the needs, more than takes care of the needs. He so blesses that we're able to sponsor the Word for Today all over the world. He is so good. Oh, when will people learn? And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. I can picture on the beach, Paul the Apostle, the ship is waiting offshore. There's a little dinghy there. And here are the elders of the church of Ephesus. And Paul's sitting on the beach there with them, and he's talking to them and saying, hey, now feed the flock of God. Just take care of them, because wolves are going to come in. And you know, I've warned you of this with tears, and I'm sure that Paul was crying now. And he said, you know, watch over them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then I can see this circle of men kneeling as they join hands in prayer, not knowing what the future holds. And they all of them began to weep. And they fell on Paul's neck and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they would probably not see his face again. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And so it came to pass that after we had gotten from them and we had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the following day unto Rhodes, and from there to Patara, where we found a ship that was sailing to Phoenicia. And we got on board and we set forth. And when we had sighted the island of Cyprus, we went on the left-hand side and sailed into Syria, and we landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her burden. So Luke takes us now on the journey from Miletus onto the city of Tyre, which you read so much about in your papers today, there in southern Lebanon, where the Israelis now have occupational troops. And finding disciples, the Greek would indicate that they looked for them. They searched for them and found them. You know, it's a glorious thing being a Christian, because no matter where you go in the world, the minute you find disciples, you're at home. It's such a wonderful feeling. I go back to Indianapolis, and it's just like being at home. We gathered together there in the auditorium, and it was just like being home. The love and all with which the people received us, and just, hey, we're all part of God's glorious body. And that was true in New York, it's true in New Jersey, it's true in Colorado Springs, it's true wherever we go. It's just like being with the family. And so they searched for the Christian body there in Tyre. They found them. And they stayed with them for 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with the wives and the children till we were out of the city. So this Christian body in Tyre, all of the wives, kids. And I got another picture, you know, of them coming with Paul until they come to the city limits. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. So all of the children, the families, the body of Christ there in Tyre, kneeling with Paul there on the beach at Tyre praying. And so when we had taken our leave of one another, we went into the ship and we returned, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, which is the modern port city of Acco. And there we greeted the brethren and stayed with them for a day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, about 25 miles south from Acco on the Mediterranean coast. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, that is, deacons appointed in the early church to administer the tables, and we stayed with him. And he had four daughters who were virgins and who had the gift of prophecy. Now, it is interesting, this is 20 years after Philip fled from Jerusalem because of Paul's intense persecution of the church at the time of the stoning of Stephen, where Paul stood and held the coats consenting or voting for Stephen's death. And then how Paul went out to wreck the church, imprisoning those that called upon the Lord and all. And at Paul's heavy persecution, Philip had fled from Jerusalem, went up to Samaria, where a great revival broke out, then headed by the guidance of the Spirit down to Gaza, where the Ethiopian eunuch was converted, and then made his way back towards Caesarea, preaching in various cities, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ, but finally settled in Caesarea. Now these two men meet 20 years later. No longer on opposite sides of the fence, and now brought together as brothers in Jesus Christ. And Paul stayed there at the house of Philip, for Philip had settled now in Caesarea, had a family, four daughters, God's anointing upon them. They had the gift of prophecy. You know, time does go by and people do grow up and mature. There are a lot of people say, well, where are the Jesus people, you know? Well, they're here, but they have four kids. You know, time changes things. They're no longer the irresponsible teenagers or in their early 20s as they were, but now they're in their 30s. Some of them in late 30s. But yet, having matured, grown, times change. You know, nothing is static. That was not intended. It itched. But it's true, everything passes. But when we get into heaven, all you fellows might be the same, because the Bible says there's no parting there. So they stayed there for many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, he had earlier been the prophet who had come to Antioch and had prophesied the great drought that would come. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and those of that place begged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by this weeping? You're trying to break my heart. For I am ready not to be bound only, but I'm also ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You're trying to persuade me by tears. Hey, fellas, I'm not afraid of being bound. I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus. Now, was it the will of the Lord that Paul go to Jerusalem? When he was there at Tyre, the Spirit warned him not to go to Jerusalem. Here the Holy Spirit, you know, Agabus takes Paul's girdle, binds his hand and feet, and he said, thus the man who owns this girdle is to be bound in Jerusalem, turned over to the Gentiles. I believe that the Lord was just warning Paul what was going to await him, and the disciples interpreted the warning as that he wasn't to go. But I believe that Paul was to go to Jerusalem. Their interpretation of the warnings was, don't go. But you remember when Paul was first converted, that the Lord told Ananias there in Damascus, go to the street straight and inquire for Paul and lay hands on him that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, Lord, you got to be kidding. I know this guy, Paul. I've heard of him. He's the one who wrecked the church in Jerusalem, throwing in prison all the Christians. And he's come here, and my name is on his list. I'm on his hit list. I'm one of the guys he's going to arrest. Lord, you can't mean that I'm supposed to go and expose myself to this guy and pray for him. The Lord said, behold, he is a chosen vessel unto me, and I am going to show him the things that he's going to suffer for my name. Now, it seems that the Lord was faithful to that and always warned Paul in advance of the sufferings that he was going to experience. And with the warnings, I think there was always, hey, Paul, if you want to duck out, you can. And Paul said, hey, no way, Lord. Let's go for it. I'm not worried about being in prison. I'm not worried about being bound. You know, you can't dissuade me by your tears. I'm ready to die for Jesus. Being thrown in jail doesn't bother me at all. I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. You just don't stop men like that. You remember when he was at Corinth, the Lord said, preach boldly. No one will be able to lay their hands on you here to hurt you, because I have many people in this city. When he was on the ship, and it looked like there was going to be a shipwreck. We'll get that in a couple chapters. And Paul stood up and he said, "Hey, fellows, be of good cheer. Everything's going to be all right. An angel of the Lord stood by me and told me that though the ship is going to be wrecked, not a life is going to be lost." But the Lord was always showing him the things that were going to transpire, the things that he'd have to suffer. And I believe the Lord was just faithful, showing Paul the things that he was going to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. But Paul, "Hey, Lord, whatever. I'm ready to be bound. I'm ready to die." Paul is one of my real favorites. I love commitment. I love that competitive desire to win. And the guy that's, hey, not going to be stopped by pain or a little hurt or whatever, let's go for it. And I love that kind of, man. He's just my kind of guy, and I just really admire him. And so when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. Now, it isn't we ceased saying the Lord's will be done. We just ceased saying don't go, and we just started saying, well, the Lord's will be done. A lot of people read that wrong. We ceased saying the Lord's will be done. No, we ceased and we said, well, the Lord's will be done. You see the difference? They recognize them, well, if that's what the will of the Lord is, so be it, you know, the Lord's will be done. So we ceased trying to dissuade Paul as we said, well, the will of the Lord be done.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 20 through 21. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you this week. May He watch over your lives and keep you in His love. May you abound in the love of Jesus Christ. May there just be that rich flowing forth in and from your life as God works in you His perfect work of love and grace. May God grant that you have just a special week of enjoying the goodness and the fullness of God and His love. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Old and New Testament study guides, are the ideal accompaniment to any Bible. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone, anywhere, who might ask you about Jesus? The only way to be prepared is to know the Scriptures. These study guides were designed to enhance your knowledge of the Bible quickly and easily. As you place the Old and New Testament study guides next to your Bible, you'll discover key words that define Hebrew words commonly found, biblical maps, charts, and diagrams to help visualize the text, and study questions. You can order these books at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. It's not the way it used to be.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.